Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
You who think, well, I'm good enough to get to heaven, you're going to see on that day how sinful and evil and wicked you are. God presents this case about the sinfulness of man. And when the defense rises to give a rebuttal, there's nothing to say. And you're just going to stand there with your mouth closed. And the Lord will give the sentence, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. There is truth, there is blessedness, there is hope.
Well, what a beginning. No punches will be pulled today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Why? Because apart from the Holy Spirit's influence, mankind has always possessed a warped perception of God, along with a very inflated opinion of himself or herself. And as Pastor Jeff reads and unearths our passage of Scripture from Romans chapter 3 today, we'll learn that in our natural state, apart from God, we're not going to like what we see. You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and welcome to this Tuesday edition and part two of the lesson, Do You See What God Sees? It's from Pastor Jeff's six-message series, Perspective, Understanding God and Man. It's also our gift of thanks to you for your support this month. To find out more, go to fromhisheart.org. But first, get your serious hat on today and be prepared to hear the uncompromised truth from God's Word about our true nature and how God really sees us. Open your Bible to the third chapter of Romans. Here again is Pastor Jeff.
Hey, do you really understand the true picture of man? You know, the Bible says that really there are only two men who have ever lived. There is Adam, the first man, and there is Jesus Christ, the second man. Now, the Bible says in Adam, that's where we're all born. That's where we're all on the broad road that leads to destruction. In Adam, all die, but in Christ are all made alive. And so Paul, kind of like a lawyer in a courtroom, he is bringing the case against all humanity. Humanity sits in the defense, and Paul is a prosecuting attorney, and he is laying out the indictment from the Lord against man. And so I want you to see with me four discoveries as we look through this passage together. Discovery number one, there is no one who is righteous. Look at verse 10. There is none righteous, not even one. And incidentally, verse 10, 11, and 12, it all comes from Psalm 14, verses 1 through 3, and Psalm 53, verses 1 through 3. Those passages are identical, and the Lord says, there is no one who is righteous, not even one. No one is holy, no one is just, no one is innocent before God. We're all guilty, guilty, guilty. Now, that is the big picture of the indictment. There is none righteous, not even one. And so the question comes in the courtroom, well, wait a minute, give us some specifics. And so the Apostle Paul goes into specifics, and he's going to talk now about what comes out of our mouths. You need some evidence in the courtroom? I can't just say that man is, there's none righteous, not even one. Well, let's give you some specifics. See, secondly, there is no one who speaks righteously. There's no one righteous, and it shows up in the way that they speak. Verse 13, their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Today we have just all kinds of terrible things that pour out of the mouth and the lying. See, it talks about with their tongues they keep deceiving, and the poison of asps is under their lips. People lie, as the old expression goes, they lie like a dog. I mean, just for some people, it's just second nature. They just lie, lie, lie. Listen, you're never more like the devil than when you tell a lie. Why? Because he's a liar and the father of lies. And the scripture is very clear how God feels about lying. Proverbs chapter 6. There are 6 things which the Lord hates, yes, 7 which are an abomination to him. Number 1 on the list is a proud look. Number 2 is lying lips. And then he goes on to say different things, and then he comes back to a false witness who utters lies. So the 7 things God hates, 2 times he mentions lying. It's almost like God says, you know, I hate lying. And then he's going through a litany of other things, and he said, have I told you how much I hate lying? He hates lying lips. He hates a false witness who utters lies. Why do we lie? Because we think, well, that's going to get me out of hot water. That's going to help me navigate this situation. If I told the truth, I'd get in trouble, so I'm going to lie about it. God hears. God knows everything that comes out of your mouth, everything that comes out of my mouth. And the evidence of our depravity is found in our mouth, and the mouth reveals the heart. So our speech is atrocious, and it reveals our heart. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, for the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. See, it says here in verse 13, their throat is an open grave. Very descriptive, an open grave. Now, when a grave would be sealed in Bible times, because you didn't want that to be open. Why? Because the Jews didn't embalm people. They would put spices on them and put spices and prepare the body that way, but there was no embalming. So that person, as he began to rot and decay, would stink. You remember in John chapter 11 when Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus and he told Martha, roll away the stone, and she said, Lord, it's been 4 days. I don't want to roll away the stone. Lord, he stinks. There's a stench there if we roll away the stone and have an open grave. That's what God says about a man's mouth. Why does he have cursing and bitterness come out of his mouth? Because the throat is an open grave and the rottenness is coming from the heart. And the foul exhalations come out of the heart. And that's what Jeremiah said, Jeremiah chapter 17. He said, the heart of man is deceitful above all else and desperately sick. Who can know it? So if you want to know why you say the things that you say, the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. And so when the bitterness comes out, when the cursings come out, when the lies come out, it just shows that all that is in your heart. So that's the first piece of evidence, is words. There is no one who speaks righteously. And then he goes on to ways. Look at the words, look at the ways. There is no one who acts righteously. It says in verse 15, their feet are swift to shed blood. Their feet are swift to shed blood. We are so quick to murder one another. So quick to murder one another. You say, well, we are not like that. Maybe they were like that way back then when Paul wrote this in the first century. We're not like that now. You know how many abortions there were last year? 893,000 abortions in the United States of America. That's about 100 abortions every hour. We're quick to murder one another. And outside of abortion, just when you talk about domestic violence or just fights on the street, that kind of thing, there's a crime clock statistic we have. This was from 2016. A violent crime occurs every 25.3 seconds. One murder every 30.6 minutes. One rape every 4 minutes. One robbery every 1.6 minutes, one aggravated assault every 39.4 seconds. That's man in Adam. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Of the 6 things that the Lord hates, yes, 7 which are an abomination to him, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, feet that run rapidly to evil. Those are included in there. God hates that. And we are a murderous people. You know who has the worst murder rate in the United States? Chicago. The toughest gun laws, the highest murder rate. You know, if you take away people's guns, they just kill people with knives. Take away their knives, they're going to beat them with a stick. Take away the stick, they'll run them over with their car. We just live in a society, and it's in the heart of man to murder one another. The very first sin recorded after the fall of Adam and Eve, Cain killing Abel. God wanted a blood sacrifice. Cain says, I'm not coming with a blood sacrifice. I'm not going to slit the throat of a lamb, but I tell you what I will do. I'll slit the throat of my brother Abel. And that's what he did. Very first sin that is recorded after the fall of man is murder. We're quick to murder others, and we leave behind a wake of destruction and misery. And this is tough stuff. Lots of people don't want to hear this about mankind, but this is what God sees. This is what God hears. This is what God knows. As Jack Nicholson said in A Few Good Men, to paraphrase, can you handle the truth? Because this is the truth about man. We leave behind a wake of destruction and misery. Verse 16, destruction and misery are in their paths. Destruction means to shatter. And we shatter stuff. You know, if God had allowed Adam and Eve to remain in the garden of Eden. He didn't. He drove them out. Why? Because there was the tree of life in the Garden of Eden, and God didn't want them to eat of the tree of life and live forever in a fallen state. But if God put sinful man in Adam, men in a perfect place, we would leave destruction and misery there in no time. Why? Because that's what we do. That is man. He leaves behind a wake of misery. And then it says, the path of peace have they not known. We can't live in peace. All those in Adam, we don't live in peace. I think it's interesting, you know, you have in Islam, the radical jihadists, they want to kill the Jews and kill the Christians. And then if the whole world is Islamic and you have the black flag on every capital in the world, well, then everything would be at peace, right? Wrong. Because you have factions inside of Islam. And so this group hates that group. And that group hates this group. And this other group hates the first group. And the Sunnis don't like the Shias, and the Shias don't like the Sunnis. And so if there are no Christians or Jews to kill, they'll kill each other. There is no peace. We don't know the way of peace. I think it's very interesting when Jesus came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. He made his grand entrance into Jerusalem, and they were laying down palm branches, and they were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were declaring him to be the Messiah and associating him with the Messiah. And Jesus came into the city, and he wept over it, and he said, if you had known this day the things that make for peace. The Prince of Peace had come to them, but they didn't know the things that make for peace. And in just 5 days, they would take the Prince of Peace and nail him to a tree. That's man. That's what you see in man. Can't live in peace. So our words are the evidence that our heart is rotten. Our actions, evidence that our heart is rotten. And you say, what is causing all the rottenness? Why the rotten heart? Why the rotten words? Why the rotten actions? Why the murder? Why the misery? Why the destruction? Because it says in verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. We refuse to fear God. That kind of sums up why we're in the mess that we're in. Because in Proverbs, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You can't have knowledge and you can't have wisdom unless you have the fear of the Lord, because that's the starting point. That's first base in wisdom and knowledge. And it says in Romans chapter 1 that the people didn't want to acknowledge God anymore. They didn't want to give him thanks. They didn't want to give him honor. They said, forget you, God, we're going to go our own way. If you don't fear God, then you won't follow God, and you're just going to go down the cliff that leads to hell. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. Now, there are two aspects to the fear of the Lord. There's the positive aspect of we just stand in awe of God, and we say, wow, God, you're God. You spoke the worlds into existence, and I just stand in awe of you. That is the positive aspect of fearing God. But then there's a negative aspect of fearing God. And the negative aspect of fearing God is this. Our God is a consuming fire. And you have this tremendous reverence and awe of God, but then you also have a healthy respect of who God is. And when you have a healthy respect of who God is, that keeps you away from evil. Because you say, man, I can't do X, Y, and Z. Why? Because the eyes of the Lord are in every place watching the evil and the good. And I'm going to have to answer to God one day. And so, man, I'm going to keep the scripture says the fear of the Lord. By the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. But in our world, just as in Paul's world, there was no fear of God. And when there's no fear of God, it's Katie bar the door. There's none who acts righteously. There's none who speaks righteously. And that's the evidence. And then he gives, fourthly, the verdict. There is no one who does not stand hopelessly condemned before God. No one, not even one. Verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. That word accountable means to be condemned, to be guilty before God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. God presents his case about the sinfulness of man. And when the defense rises to give a rebuttal, there is nothing. There's nothing to say. Because everything God said is true, and it nails man to the wall, and every mouth is closed, it's stopped, it's shut up, there's nothing to say. You know what happens to all those who are in Adam? See, the scripture says, in Adam all die. The wages of sin is death. When you die outside of Christ, you go to a place called Hades, which is like the county jail. You know, that's what happens in any kind of criminal situation. The policemen come and they arrest the perpetrator. They put him in county jail. You're in county jail until you have your day in court with the judge. And the day in court with the judge of all the earth is called the Great White Throne Judgment. And at the Great White Throne Judgment, God reads off the record of the charges against every person who is in Adam. Every single person will stand alone at the great white throne. It's such a frightening experience. You can read about it in Revelation chapter 20. And John says, I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. There was nowhere to run. There was nowhere to hide. You didn't want to be there at the great white throne, but they stand there. And books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And every man was judged according to the deeds which were written in the book. God has books with all your deeds in it. Everyone in Adam, all their deeds, they're written. All the sins, everything that comes out of your mouth. Jesus said, every idle word a man shall speak, he'll give an account for it on the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. And so every idle word, it's going to be in there. Everything that you thought, everything that you did, it's in there. It's in the book. And he reads it all off. And you're standing there, and God just shows you the weight of your sin. And you who think, well, I'm good enough to get to heaven, you're going to see on that day how sinful and evil and wicked you are. And when it comes time for rebuttal, you're not going to have anything to say. And you're just going to stand there with your mouth closed. And the Lord will give the sentence. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. The book of life is open at the great white throne judgment. Why is that? Nobody, his name's in the book of life that stands at the great white throne. The book of life is open at the great white throne to show every single person that there was a spot in my book for you. Jesus hung naked on a cross for you, and you could have been saved, but you said no to the sinless Son of God and to the cross of Jesus Christ. Hey, unless God intervenes, mankind is justly doomed. That's the point of what he is saying. You can't do the law and think that you can be made right with God. The law, what is the law? The law is a mirror. The law just shows you how sinful you are. The law is a thermometer. It just shows you how sick you are. Nobody gets better by sucking on the thermometer. Nobody cleans his face by rubbing it on the mirror. Those things are just tools. They don't help you to get better. They just show you how sick you are. And God is saying the world is sick with sin. And unless I intervene, every single human being is going to rightfully go to hell. And that is just and that is right from a holy God. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. You would have to be a fool to say, nope, I'm just gonna stay in Adam. I'm gonna just take my chances. I'm a pretty good person. You're lying to yourself. Your life is filled with raw sewage before a holy God. And if you die in Adam, you will spend eternity in hell. Listen, we talk about the gospel being good news, and it is good news. That's what that word means. Gospel means good news, good story. But the good news only makes sense when you understand the bad news. And the bad news is this: you're born in Adam, and in Adam all die. It's only in Christ are all made alive. And the invitation goes out to every single person. Whosoever believes in Jesus will be saved.
Would you like to be made alive in Christ and obtain the victory Jesus purchased for you on the cross? Ask him sincerely to come into your heart today and make you new. If you'd like to know more about how to do that and what it really means to you for now and eternity, we invite you to go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link. There are a lot of resources there to help you. And if you've received Jesus as your Savior, we'd like to rejoice with you. Just go online and click the Contact Us tab. As we've been reminded today, many people have a distorted picture of who God is and who they are, and that spells trouble. Maybe you've been deceived into believing things about God and about yourself that are simply not true. Well, you need to hear the messages from Pastor Jeff's six-message series that we're in now called Perspective, Understanding God and Man. And in it, he'll help you see through the distortions, the lies about God and yourself, and allow you to discover his great love for you, no matter what you may have done. This series is our gift of thanks to you for your support of any amount to From His Heart this month. Simply call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org, and we'll send you the format of your choice: CD, DVD, MP3 download, or USB flash drive. The series is called Perspective, Understanding God and Man. Again, go to fromhisheart.org. Well, I'm Larry Nobles, and we want to thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. Be sure to join us tomorrow for the next lesson that'll explain the relationship between the cross and the crossroads. That's on Wednesday, right here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org.